Father, we just thank you. Father, we just bless you. We thank you for thou, O Lord, have been our dwelling place. Even in all generations. We thank you because you are still in Christ, working salvation in the midst of prayer. You are still our King of old. You are working salvation in the midst of the earth. Working deliverance. We bless you, Father. We give you all the praise, we give you all the glory for all what has already been done today. We thank you for all the healings that has gone forth. We thank you for all the doors that has been broken. We thank you for even the little children amongst us, for all what you are doing in their lives. We thank you for your heart towards the little children. We thank you because they are not insignificant in what you are doing. So as a result, you said in your word, if anyone would touch these little children, that it'd be better for them to tile a millstone upon their neck and be cast into the sea. Because of your heart towards these little children. Yeah. Therefore, we commit them again and again in the hollows of your hands, that you may keep them in the name of Jesus. That even as your word has been coming and your word would yet come, let it be a portion for one and for all. In the name of Jesus Christ. That as a little child, that they will know the Holy Scripture, that will make them wise in the facilitation of their salvation. Amen. Father, we appreciate you. We thank you. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to move us, continue to move amongst us as we go further in this service. That at the end, O Lord, your name alone will be glorified. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. To be honest, brethren, whatever I have to say has already been said, you know, from the worship to the prayers. So we thank God. We just continue to praise Him. So it's going to be a short one, because the burden really for today is a burden for prayer. And of which case, just in a couple minutes, our brother would come and, you know, lead us in a time of prayer. So, hallelujah. So like I said, all have already been said, but I guess we'll just look at one or two things and then we'll pray. Just one or two things in tying up or what we have said in summary. We'll go straight to the book of John chapter 15. John chapter 15, from the verse 5. It says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. He said, for without me ye can do nothing. That is pretty much a summary of it. Grace is simply the connector or the ligament that ties the branch and the vine. Grace is what connects the branch and the vine. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the vine, and we are the branches. Most times when we pray for grace, it's to be able to do something, the grace to do this, the grace to do that. And the scripture tells us that without him, we can do nothing. So it just brings this all together and puts it in plain text or in plain language that without the Lord Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. And then it also talks about the bearing of fruits. It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So our ability to bring forth fruits, to walk in love, the fruit of the Spirit, is dependent on our abiding in Him. And then a simple question, yet important, now comes: how can the God of the whole earth abide in me, just as little as I am? How can the God of the whole earth abide in me? And then the verse 7 now answers the verse 5. It says, if you abide in me, and my word abide in you. So the way God abides in us is through His word. If you abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So that is pretty much a summary of all what we've been saying. That grace is what connects us with the vine, connect us with Jesus. So we are not going to do things or to give in to different deeds to have grace. No. Because of the connecting source that we have, the life source that we have, by being connected to the vine, we are able to do everything. That is where the idea of being able to do all things comes in. Because so long as we are connected to Him, as long as we are connected to the vine, and how do we connect to the vine? By remaining in Him. Our sister was leading the prayer, and she said it all: by keeping His word. That is what, you know, you say, for that, what have I kept in my heart? Have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against? And then the book of Hebrews chapter 2 will say, the things that we have heard, the things that you have heard of us, you know, how did he put it? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Maybe let's see. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. The things that you have heard, should not at any point let them sleep. Therefore, we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things that which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep. So we should keep the word of God. And we should not at any point let them sleep. All the words that we've been hearing and all the words that we'll yet hear, we should keep it. In keeping the word of God, that's how we abide in Him. We abide in Him by keeping His word. And in that John chapter 15, verse 7, the word there is actually the rhema, the spoken word. In our daily experience, we should live a life where each and every day, we should hear the word, the Lord speak to us. And He speaks to us in a multitude of His words. He says, for my sheep hear my voice, right? And I know them. And in the subsequent verse, it says, the voice of a stranger they shall not follow, right? The voice of the stranger they shall not follow. So there are words coming. There are words coming on a daily basis. The words that will come to you and tell you are not good enough is words. But that's the word of a stranger. So if it's easy to hear such words that condemns you, how much more easy should it be to hear the voice of the Lord? And the way we hear the voice of the Lord is remaining in His written word. Take His word, let His word dwell in your heart all day. And the truth is, there is no way, you can never be so busy not to have time for God's word. That's just the truth. No matter how busy it is, there will still be a place in your heart to be able to keep it. You may not be able to say it vocally because maybe you're walking where you need to be speaking and all that. But in your heart, it's there. And you keep thinking about every single moment, the time that you would use to just flip your phone to check updates, you use it to just check the word of God, that same word. And I tell you, brethren, before the end of that day, you will hear the Lord speak to you audibly. The Lord will speak from the midst of His word. And He will instruct you in the way to go. He will guide you. His word will come to you. And His word, His spoken word, will not be contrary to His written word. So whenever we see any contrary or hear any contrary word, it's the voice of a stranger. And He says that word you will not follow. So you will not apply yourself to the word that are contrary to the word of God. And what we are talking about here is the word of His grace that is able to build you up. And as we give ourselves to these words, to the word of God, we would attain to growth. There will be spiritual growth, and that spiritual growth will even be reflected in your physical life, your physical experience. It's not going to be spiritual spirit. It's going to find a physical expression. That's the word of God. That's the word of God. So the scripture will say, let the word of God Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Hallelujah. So we had said that the word of God is what will be the inspiration behind your worship. The word of God will propel you to the place of prayers. The word of God will be seen as a means of survival for the day. You don't go a day without actually spending time with the word of God. And we had said that the way we grow in grace is growing in the knowledge of God. In other words, the only way grace can be multiplied is through the knowledge. The only way grace can be is through the knowledge of God. So that's why the scripture was it 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, we say, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. So the only way grace can increase is through knowledge. And it's important, it's imperative to know what we do with that knowledge. That knowledge drives us and inspires us in the place of prayer. So he said, whenever you pray according to my will, you know, you get an answer. And where is the will of God? In his word. So there is no way you can pray in alignment with the will of God that you don't get an answer. And the will of God is simply in his word. So Jesus will say, for lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do what? To do your will. So the will of God is found in the word of God. What God's word says about you is his will. For lo, I come in the volume of the book, for it is written of me to do your will. The will of God is not found in any other place but the word of God. And then he now says, if you pray, he said, we have this confidence that whenever we pray according to his will, according to his word, he hears us. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. One thing I was just going to touch on real quick, but just being, you know, really mindful of time here, is we had said that our prayers will be inspired by the word of God. Now, in the book of Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus was teaching them how to pray, they had asked him, teach us how to pray. That's where we stopped last week. And as he was teaching them, he got to a point, still teaching them how to pray, he says, when you fast. So he tells you that fasting is actually an integral part of prayer. Now there are sayings here and there, oh, Paul never thought about fasting and all. There are all those things. But when we look at that particular scripture, when Jesus was teaching them how to pray, that was the teachings of Christ. We would see an expectation there. He didn't say if you fast, he said when you fast. When there is a when you see when as opposed to if, it's not conditional, it's a requirement. He said, when you fast. So fasting is an integral part of prayer, but it's one of those things that have been relegated where it's optional, if you feel like. But no, brethren, it's actually required that as children of God that we give ourselves to fasting. But now, many have fasted and did not get results, and as a result, they are discouraged. But then the book of Isaiah chapter 58 will tell you why. One of the reasons is that they fast with their own strength. I'm not going to go there just because I was just note it down. We had said that where we get strength from, the life source, our strength source is as we are connected to the vine. So when we try to engage in anything, he said without him we can do nothing. So when we try to engage in anything outside him, we will suffer burnout. So many have suffered burnout and say that I won't do that anymore. Why? Because we are trying to engage things. We're trying to bear forth fruit. You try to show someone love. When they respond to you with hate, you get angry. That's because you are doing it with your own strength. But as you abide in him, you will bear forth fruit. As you abide in him, there will be grace to be able to engage in things. Not just strength, but even authority to engage in things. That's what that John, that's like the pressing verse in my heart today, that John chapter 15, 5, 7, to just know that all what we are talking about so far is pretty much given on the premise of what Jesus has done for us. So we just need to sit down and continue to meditate. I like the way the worship, the prayer, it was meditative in nature. Just meditating on what God has done, on what Jesus has done, his death, his resurrection. That is where fruit, that's how we bear fruit. It's not by setting this thing, you know, setting expectations and all that. No, you will just keep getting discouraged. But as we continue to look at what he has done for us, we will bear forth fruit. To love will become easy. We will be able to engage in things, and you will not be tired because you know it's not even your strength. Because you are drawing strength from the life source, which is divine. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to just touch on that part, that fasting is actually an integral part of prayer. It's not different. It's the same. That's why as Jesus was teaching, he made reference to it. He didn't conclude prayer. And let me tell you about that. It was in the midst of teaching them how to pray, he made reference to fasting. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, like I said, the worship, the prayer, everything just captures everything that is left to say. You know, as our sister was singing, she sang the song. He says, daily as I live, often as I
Hallelujah.
Pray, let my whole life be an expression of your grace. Daily experience. The expression of grace becoming a daily experience. A daily lifestyle, a daily living. And that daily experience, is actually the experience of the believer. The Bible says that we are what? We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That heavenly experience is meant to be our daily experiences. And we know, I mean, as we're praying, it was clear that there are people here who may have seen some sort of contradiction. The experience that you're having is not in alignment with that heavenly experience. And that's the reason why we are going to pray today. And that the Lord will make all these things that we have said, these things that we have heard, to become our experience. To become our experience. That we would have that heavenly experience. There's one way to know when someone has an heavenly experience. Joy. Perpetual joy. There will be no form of mood swing. Today you're very happy. Tomorrow you're very sad. Tomorrow you're feeling lonely. All of those things will be. Your joy and your happiness will be a reflection of your position in the spirit. You see, he that sits in the heaven will do what? Will laugh. Does not mean you'll be laughing carelessly. It means there will be a perpetual state of joy. Joy unending. And I tell you, brethren, that should be the estate of every
joy
believer.
Hallelujah.
When a person is seated in the heavens, there is no room for sickness. Sickness is not found there. It's earthbound. There is no room for having, you know, struggling with one thing or the other, school, this and all that. No. It's an heavenly experience. And then we'll just read one verse and then we would move into a place of prayer. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. Let's see here. I'd like for us to read it together. Let's read it together. From 18 to 25. Want to go. Therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep this commandment which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations, and that mightier than yourself. Every place whereon the sole of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be.
Amen.
There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. Amen.
Amen.
The emphasis was that verse that says that your days may be as the days of heaven upon the earth. So the heavenly experience that many are looking forward to will be here on earth for you. Your daily life, your daily experience will be as it were the days of heaven. That is what grace brings us into. I pray that the Lord will grant us much help. I pray that the Lord will enlarge our hearts, will give us capacity, that there will be understanding available, that we may see beyond the word and the spirit, beyond the spirit behind the words, that the spirit of grace and supplication will be poured forth upon one and upon all. That the Lord indeed will take away anything that has seen, that has proven difficult, that there will be much entrance into his word, and that we may grow in his word, that we may grow in knowledge, that the Lord will fill us up. He said, for blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. He said, for they shall be filled. And I pray that the Lord will pour forth his spirit upon us, that we may be filled. For the scripture says that in the last day, in that great day of the feast, the Lord stood and cried. He said, if any man thirst, let him come. Let him come. If any man thirst, let him come. Our brother was speaking today from the book of Isaiah chapter 55. That is the spirit of the Lord. The Lord is set to release abundance of grace upon us. The Lord is set to lift us up to a higher dimension of life, dimension of relationship with him, such that all these things that we are saying will no longer be theory. There will be an experience of it. I believe that the Lord will meet one and all today in the name of Jesus Christ. There will be a great outpouring of God's Spirit in this place. There will be a great unleashing. The Lord will enablement given upon one and upon all. Things that have proven difficult over time, today, yoke to be broken.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Prison doors will be broken. Addictions will be completely destroyed. Things that have proven difficult. Situations of life. Even situations that relate even to your siblings that may not be here. Today, we would hear the trumpet of the acceptable year of the Lord.
Amen.
That the Lord in his great strength would break everything that every tree that he has not planted in your life, he will uproot.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm just going to pass it on to my brother to just lead us in a time of prayers.
Hallelujah.
So, brother,
glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Amen. Brothers, the word has been given to us. We've heard clearly from the Lord in the worship, in the prayer, and in this brief word we've heard. So it's time to put it to practice by praying. So I want us to just rise to our feet. The song that was led earlier, you know, daily as I live,
yes,
as often as I breathe, may my whole life be expressions of your grace. I thought about that for a minute. You know, where there is grace, what you see is a case of man's weakness.